You are listening to The Obscure Gentlemen, a bi-weekly podcast dedicated to filtering pop culture through the eyes and ears of the internet. I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez, and who might you be?
I am Alex Mitchell.
So, yeah, let's just, Antonio, go for it.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Gang bang!
There was a firefight!
But I don't want to be a pirate!
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
How can you stop?
This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you.
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
Kiss my sweaty balls, you fat.
Oh, look. Rocks.
Game over!
You lose. Good day, sir.
No! No!
Alright, so...
It was a firefight. I missed it.
Okay, so we're gonna... I guess we're gonna jump right into this one. So, you know who John Rambo and John Matrix are, right?
John Matrix is from Commando.
Yes, Commando.
And then John Rambo was obviously from...
Yeah, so you're...
The Predator movies.
You're aware of these two mythic figures, right?
He's from Rambo, yeah.
Okay, so every once in a while, there comes a time when a question is asked, and it's a question that every young man and woman and human being on this planet must consider. So, one will protect you, the other will try to kill you. Who do you choose? So, are you going to choose Matrix to protect you or John Rambo to protect you? And mind you, the other one's trying to kill you, so...
Okay, so let's think back here. In Commando, he is going after to protect his daughter.
Yes.
He's murdering fools.
Yeah.
As people might say, to protect his daughter, to rescue her, I should say. So on a technical level, he's failed part of what this stipulation is, which is to protect. He's not doing a good job of that.
Yeah.
So right now, so he's already failed to actually hold up that part. But Rambo, he's not exactly good at protecting either. A lot of his friends have died.
Yes.
But he always goes above and beyond to destroy those that have wronged him.
Okay. So who do you want to protect you, but also who do you want coming after you? Because that's how it works.
Rambo's a Green Beret.
Okay.
But Matrix eats Green Berets for breakfast. And right now he's very hungry. So
you're going with...
No, wait. Shit. This is hard.
Who's your choice? Who?
You know what? I think Matrix is going to be my protector.
John Matrix is...
Yeah.
Is going to protect you from John Rambo?
Yeah.
You're willing to take that risk?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, then let's see what everyone else had to say about that. Let's see how you... process stacked up.
Okay.
Okay. The winner will always be the bigger action star because that is who the audience want to see win. Both are big names, but Arnie is the bigger name, so he is a pretty big guy. I choose him.
Would that be your logic? I mean, okay.
If he lived in a movie, yeah.
Because let's be honest, he is the bigger star.
Literally and
figuratively.
Yeah, both ways. Yeah.
And figuratively could also factor in figures as in money.
Yeah,
so it works in three ways.
That makes sense. I can
stand behind that.
Movie logic, yeah. Okay. What the fuck is Rambo going to do against a guy who ripped a phone booth out of the ground? Survived a 50-foot drop out of an airplane and a grenade going off 2 feet away from him. John Matrix does more impressive shit than the T-800. You can't fight hyperbole.
Jesus. Okay, he may be onto something here.
You know what? I never realized it, but John Matrix does a lot more impressive stuff than the Terminator does.
Yeah. Would you argue both Terminators? Because... Like, the one from Terminator and the one from T2?
Well, he can't turn to liquid metal.
No, I meant both Arnold takes.
Yeah.
And even the third Arnold.
I mean, the T-800 gets shot up a lot. John Matrix never gets shot.
Yeah.
He does rip a
phone booth out.
Yeah.
He goes to the same mall that John Connor does.
He does jump 50 feet.
Yeah.
A grenade does it. Yeah.
Like
so.
Tarzan, if I recall correctly, they do refer to him as Tarzan.
I do love the aspect you can't fight hyperbole.
You really can't.
he's literally hyperbole. So, Rambo is a good guy. I don't think he'd want to kill me. Matrix is a fucking psychopath, though. He kills people for fun, and he insults the corpse.
He does kill a lot of people.
Oh, yes,
in very fucked up, because in First Blood, he only kills, like two guys.
Because this
one guy wasn't even his fault.
This is Arnold without any of, like, the charm or smile yet. So he's kind of
cracking jokes, though. It's weird.
But
it's like early
not,
Arnold.
Yeah, they're not Arnold jokes yet. They're not crafted. So someone said, "You will never be an 80s dude bro Chad Thundercock at the mall with your bros cruising for that 80s trim when John Matrix runs the fuck out of nowhere, tears out a phone booth, swings through the giant atrium like Tarzan, and then beats the ever-loving shit out of 20 or so mall cops."
It's true. I mean, we will never... I think even as in, like, the movie universe, we've gone beyond that.
We
like,
will never be that or see that. Yeah.
We'll never see anything like that in real life or, I think, in movies ever again.
No, because action movies, while over the top still, they at least try to be realistic.
They're subtle,
In terms of, like, people doing certain things, they don't... Yeah. Let's see. "Arnold would actually save my life, even at the cost of his own. Sly would fail to protect me, get really angry, and avenge my death."
I did say that. I did use that logic. Yeah. Yeah, because... And he's done that before, where, you know, like, in, I think First Blood Part 2 is the biggest example of that, where the girl that he meets for, like, maybe an hour...
Yeah.
That he falls in love with her, she fucking dies, and he essentially murders, like, a fucking... like a colony of like Vietnamese soldiers and shit, and rescues like a bunch of POWs.
Pretty much.
And it was weird because it's like I didn't even know if that was like his main, like, it felt like halfway through it, it's like he lost sight of the mission, stole a helicopter, blew up a bunch of bridges and shit, and then said, "Fuck it, I'm rescuing him."
Well, and maybe your what you just said could be answered in this point.
Okay.
"Rambo is trained in the ways of war. More than that, he has faced entire armies by himself. More than once. He has fought Apache helicopters and Russian tanks. He has fucking been electrocuted, shot at, beat up, starved, and dumped in a mud pile full of leeches. He is an expert in guerrilla warfare. A man who's the best with guns, with knives, with his bare hands. A man who has been trained to ignore pain, ignore weather, to live off the land, to eat things that would make a billy goat puke. In Vietnam, his job was to dispose of the enemy personnel. To kill. Period. Rambo was and is the best."
I do like that he was going into Trotman's speech there for a second. Yeah, you know what? Again, this is another thing I had to consider, is that if Rambo had all these qualifications, I have to assume that Matrix has just as many, if
and,
not more.
And the
more.
Thing is, Rambo, though... It,
he's become, like, legendary in his own right.
At the same time, he does look out for himself most of all. Like,
yeah.
He will save other people.
Yeah.
But it seems like his most thing is, like, for him to... He's trained for self-survival.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. You know, let's think about it. You know, at the end of the day, no one really... I had to pick my mind on who John Matrix is, because I was like, oh, that's the guy from... But the people, when you say Rambo, they know what...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so... "Stallone is a manlet with low self-esteem that's into water sports. Look it up. He always stood in Arnie's shadow and knows it. Him and his wife paid hookers in the past so they would piss on his face and make him compliments. Look it up. I can't think of a good movie that Stallone made except for maybe Rambo 1, Copland, and maybe Rocky.
What the fuck
he is a greedy fuck."
I have heard that, like, Stallone tried to, like, fuck up his, like, he's tried to shame Arnold before.
Well, there was some beef between him and a lot of the other guys. Like, yeah. There's beef between him and Van Damme for a period of time. All of it's all patched up, except there's just one actor that things aren't patched up between, and that's Seagal. Everyone still hates Seagal.
Seagal's weird, though.
Well, Seagal's a piece of shit. Like, well, they're all in their personal lives are pieces of shit. But Seagal's an actual piece of shit, like, all around. All, like, full circle piece of shit.
I feel like we should get into this one day.
Oh, one day I want to tell the stories of these action heroes. There needs to be an episode where it's just action heroes.
Yeah, all right.
Because their stories are legendary. Okay. John Matrix is supposed to be the best of the best of the best. Somehow beyond even Rambo in the chain of military special forces operations. The operator of operators. And he managed to hold on to his soul through it all. To which someone responded, God, you're going to make me cry.
This is ridiculous.
I love that it's socially acceptable, like
to cry about these,
about action heroes.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to crying about anything else, for some reason it's deemed.
Yeah, it's like you get these, like, these really harsh reactions.
It's deemed socially, but then when it's action heroes, it's like, oh, yeah, I know it. It's like,
and Optimus Prime.
You can cry about football, action heroes, and Optimus Prime. All right, so Sly and Arnold both have a few years left because of the HGH pumping through their glorious veins, courtesy of some of the best doctoral care in the world. That leaves big guys die earlier Lundgren and excessive coke habit Van Damme, to which someone responds, Lundgren can use the power of his mind to make himself live longer. The guy can do almost anything. He is a real machine.
Wow. Those are the guys from that movie we watched.
What?
Universal Soldier.
Oh my god. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That horrible sequel.
I'd like to forget about it.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I've never been a fan of those two. And I've said that.
I like Dolph.
I got no real strong feelings about him.
I think he should have been bigger. Not in terms of height or anything.
Or
but
muscle size.
Yeah. He should have. I feel that he should have been more of an A-lister. He clearly falls into the between B and C-list range.
Van Damme was in Street Fighter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is at the Van Damme level, but I feel Dolph Lundgren should have been A-list. I don't know why. There's something very likable about him to me.
He does seem nicer in comparison.
He seemed...
Both him and Van Damme seem like nicer dudes
well,
to me.
It's
but...
a, they're just... I don't know. Yeah, I mean, he should have went more places, I think.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, he's really nice, approachable, and he is actually very intelligent, but people will always remember him for Rocky IV.
He murdered a man.
He did.
He murdered America's hero.
If he dies, he dies. He said it.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last one in this weird thing. Do you think Stallone ever contemplated suicide because he never got to be the big guy? He always fit neatly into Arnie's shadow. Do you think Arnold beats off to this thought?
Jesus Christ.
To which someone responded, why did my dick move?
Oh, God. This is a nod bunch of folks.
Stallone is kind of short compared to all the other actors.
Yeah,
by the
but
way.
I mean, that doesn't mean he's not a... He's
no,
a,
but
he's
that
a,
that's always brought out.
He's a
that's,
lesser actor.
But...
I guess that's what made him a better everyman in terms of, like, First Blood and, like, Rocky.
Yeah.
Because First Blood isn't really, like, a straight-up action movie compared to
yeah.
First Blood 2. That's where they try to make him look bigger. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. In terms of this whole argument, though, I probably would side with John Matrix just because of the inhuman shit he can do.
Yeah.
And also because John Rambo... He
doesn't have a good success rate with people he loves.
That's part of his whole thing is that the people he loves tend to die, or the people he's protecting.
He's a more tragic figure when you pay attention to it.
John Matrix is just
a guy that just doesn't want to fight anymore.
He's a superhuman.
Yeah,
so
he just wants to take care of Alyssa Milano.
So John Matrix, and so if anyone else has any of what you think, let us know. If you're choosing John Matrix or John Rambo to protect you, clearly there's a
a divide.
A lot of people seem to be leaning towards John Matrix, but then the other argument is that, well, Rambo's, you know, more famous. That's sort of thing.
Yeah, but again, we're not factoring in, yeah, you know.
So I'm going John Matrix and you're going John Matrix, so.
Yeah. Sorry, Rambo.
So yeah.
I do prefer his movies.
Yeah. All right, so this next part is a little odd.
All right.
I saw this morning and it made me laugh for some unexpected reason. So on 4chan, there's this thing called a trip code user.
Mm-hmm.
There is another term for it, but I'm not going to say it on here.
Yeah.
So if you have a trip code, it's usually used to distinguish your posts from other people so you're not anonymous. Instead, it says, like, you know, Dr. Baller 587.
It's essentially like a username.
Yeah. People normally don't use them. They shy away from them.
Yeah.
So there was this thread about Jared Leto.
Okay.
As the Joker. And then, but the thread was saying that Jared Leto needs to give up on his bad boy rebel image.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it was a shit-talking thing. And then someone made a really weird post about how, here's what they said. I don't conduct celebrity or wealth worship, so none of these are very things you have listed are very cool to me. The coolest people in the world are academics and members of the working class, especially those in the mining industry. Not some bastard groomed by a publicist and pampered by privilege. People like that deserve embarrassment. So that was made by a trip user named Edgar.
Okay.
And people respond to this saying, like, dude, calm down. It's like, and people are like, wait, what the fuck, miners? Why miners?
Like coal miners, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's weird. Like, out of all the professions, he singled that out. Now, so you got a lot of posts, people saying, like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Or people saying, like, dude, it's just an actor. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Like, stop tipping your fedora. Things like that.
Okay? Yeah, okay.
To which he responded with something very weird. Yes. I use a trip code. Yes, I'm still intelligent despite that. Please regale me with the tales wherein you were anything but an anonymous drifter, belligerent to the cause, and offering nothing to anyone in your quest to perpetually hold off on anything and having any obligations whatsoever, you lazy nincompoop. That's all you are. Right now you're feeding off of my attention because you know I'm a somebody. I have humility because I have spent many years on the boards under the username, building up a hearty reputation and a wealth of criticism for some of my more derisive talking points. Bleeding through my posts is the humility you claim I lack, along with an entire user history that separates me from some anonymous parasite who gets off on claiming absent-mindedly that this somehow makes my views less valid. So keep on with your role as the obscure background actor on this stage of ours, while people like me have the gumption to claim a stake in the spotlight. I sweat under pressure. I felt the pressure of the light. I felt the mockery of an audience. Of most of all, I've gotten kicked down. What separates me from you is I have the strength to get back up because I have put myself out there. You're weak, and it's highly doubtful you've ever known success. You'll always find a way to avoid pressure. You'll always find a way to put off being of any use to this world. You're a weightless nothing with no legacy. Nothing to claim of your own. You're the anti-Edgar. Anyways, piss off for now. Imbeciles like you are the reason I take education seriously.
Oh my fucking god.
So, as you can imagine, the responses to this were legendary. It was just nothing but, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, that was the most fedora tipping.
Yeah, that was.
And it's not copypasta because I searched it and other people were trying to find if it was and it wasn't.
Okay, so this is a thing that a guy just typed up.
Yeah, so it was like a slew of hundreds of responses like, the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Like,
I am at that point where I need to ask this man what is wrong with
people
him.
Laughing, people saying just insane, funny things.
Yeah.
So he made one more response in response to everyone mocking him.
Yeah, okay.
And this was this. When the centuries pass, the flame of my existence will slowly fade until my legacy is no more. When you die, your image will vanish in an instant. The only thing keeping it alive was the mirror you sob into every night anyway. You'll never exist. Keep drifting like a ghost of your own forlorn potential that died long ago. The reason namelessness suits you is because it's easier to sink in the sea than it is to blend in with the water. Nobody will peer out to find you. Nobody will call your name, and nothing will keep you chained to life, which to you is an obligation only because you're too lazy to take it yourself. Continue to deny your stake in life and leech off of people like me. I hope you enjoy this charitable post, because it'll be the last of its kind you get from me. Now go. Go into the crowd with your coat of translucence and allow others to walk right through you. Go away and be forgotten. I'll remain an enigma. I'll be remembered. I've already forgotten you. Yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with this guy?
I don't know, but he sure did find a way to leave his mark in a very short amount of time.
Wow.
Those are the only posts he made in that thread.
That's amazing.
And
miners.
He considers himself, because he has a username on an image board.
Up, like, uplifted and...
That he is...
He's exalted.
And
I don't know what to say to that.
See, you could easily say this is someone fucking around, but...
It's way too much effort to put in just fucking around, though.
When you're unfortunate, you can tell when someone's actually fucking around. This is... there are certain types of trip friends, whatever you want to call them, people who use trips, who they really do see what they do as something to be like looked up upon.
Yeah.
Like something that's amazing and glorious, and like, I have a username. I am better than everyone. So when you run into things like this, it's just like, Jesus Christ. Like, this dude probably, this is probably the most he has in life.
It's really sad.
But I just... Man, seeing this early in the morning was... It was beautiful. Like, this dude took the time to...
That is pretty good. I do like that.
So, just some throwaway fun for now. All right. Yeah, that's a taste of 4chan for you guys. How weird and bizarre...
It is a bizarre...
The thread is still going on, by the way. People just responding to him like he's... Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Go back to drama school, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Get this hothead out of here. You're not a big guy, things like that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so... Woo, doggy. Okay, so... Let's just go into this. So, last week I told you guys that we wouldn't be discussing the woman who lived until next week, and it's next week now. So it's time to jump into that. Okay, so the first part was the girl who died,
mm-hmm.
and now it's the woman who lived. So just to sum it up, I guess, we're following Ashilda?
Yeah.
Ashilda, right?
Yeah.
We're following Ashilda again, and now we've moved forward in time to the 1600s. She's like a bandit / robber sort of thing.
A highwayman, right?
Yeah, a highwayman. Yeah. And she can hide her voice wherever. And the doctor's looking for this gem thing, and he happens to stumble across her, and she's looking for it too. And so they cross paths, and he remembers her. She remembers him. But here's the thing. She doesn't remember anything else. Her entire history is sort of been wiped away. Not wiped away, but...
It's just...
Her brain can't retain information.
Yeah.
Unless she decides to keep it. So she remembers certain people, like the doctor. She remembers him. And Clara. But other than that, yeah. So the whole point of the episode is the doctor wants to find out what's exactly wrong with her, why she went from this being the sweet little girl to being the sort of psychopathic criminal.
I wouldn't say psychopathic.
Well, she murders people a lot. That's the thing. That's his main problem. Like, she, in her books and stuff, she says
she has killed.
She's forgotten how many people she's killed. Apparently she had a child at one point.
Really?
And they died during the Black Death. So there's some really horrible fucked up shit that happened in her past. But she's forgotten it. And she doesn't want to remember it. She's even torn out pages. But she's been waiting for the doctor forever. And her whole reason is she wants to get off of Earth. She's sick of being around people who, as she puts it, turns to smoke. So then the episode comes to a conclusion. We find out that there's this lion dude. And he's going to help her get into space. But by finding this gem... But it turns out that it's a trick, and he actually is going to bring an invasion fleet to Earth. And so at the last minute, she realizes, oh shit, I do care.
About people.
Yeah, and so then her and the doctor stop the threat. And and then we kind of go back to...
Like a tavern.
Yeah, and then her and this other guy who is now immortal, and that's part of the story. There's another robber who... ends up becoming mortal, because remember from last week we talked about that,
the chip.
Yeah, she gives it to him, but we're not sure if he is immortal, actually. It could have just healed him. So then what happens is the doctor goes back to the TARDIS. We finally see Clara again. She's not really in this episode. Some words are exchanged, and we'll get into what those words were, but he sees a picture Clara has, and in the background there's a Shielda, and,
Selfie. We should emphasize that. It's not
and,
just a...
And in the background, she's there, and she's clearly made it to the 21st century.
Yeah.
And so, then it's... The episode ends, and then we get a preview of next week's episode. So, let's go into it, then. So, the episode deals a lot with what it means to be immortal.
Yeah.
I think more so than any other episode has done...
Like, the last one touched on it.
I think, but, well, because think of this as one episode, really. I think that's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Because the first one sort of brings it up, and this one clarifies everything. The show has gone into, like, what being immortal means. I mean, Tom Baker's famous line, I walk through eternity, all that stuff. It's completely covered that. But this looked at it as an aspect of being something that's almost dark and depressing. And the Doctor has talked about losing companions before. He's talked about how everyone dies around him. But this episode really... made it hit home because you had another character who could actually also talk about it, but not in the same way he does. Because he almost tries to, like, just not talk about it. He's like,
Yeah.
And when he does, it's a point of sadness, but when she brings it up, it's like, it really throws in your face, like, man, being immortal would suck. The doctor, through her, essentially talks about how he knows what it's like to lose everyone you love, and there's this constant thing that keeps coming up with Ashilda mentioning that, you know, how many Claras are you going to have, like she's already dead or she's going to die. And again, I think that goes to what I was saying last week. I'm thinking there's a reason for that, because at the end
you're saying that she and you, Travis also said this, I think that you guys both think that she could be dead.
Yeah, and then this is the doctor, like, revisiting the past to try to either prevent that or something like that. But because the end of the episode, there's this weird look he gives her, and it's like, oh, shit, something bad gonna happen?
I think maybe it's that, or if it isn't, you could say that, you know, he realizes that, you know, the Mayflies, as he mentioned earlier, they are important, you know.
Yeah.
They help you realize how good life is.
Yeah.
It could be that, or it could be what you guys are saying. I think if you guys are correct, then that adds more to
to that scene. It is up in the air, but...
Yeah.
The episode, it was wonderful dealing with the questions of immortality and dealing with, like, what fleeting life is, where it's the fact that because you're here for such a short time, you do appreciate the people around you. Yeah. But when you're always there, you end up kind of just being like, they're going to go away anyways. And it gets to the point where she doesn't even have a name anymore. She refuses to be called Ashilda. She calls herself Me. Yeah. She says that's her name, Me, because, you know, everyone who's ever given her a name, or it's like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's yeah, there's a sadness.
She doesn't even remember, like, where she was born.
She doesn't remember her father or anything.
Yeah.
That
whole village, that last episode, like, she doesn't remember
anything. And it makes it sadder when you see that episode, what happened, and it's like, damn. Yeah. Now, while all the emotional beats are great, everything like that was just wonderful, I did feel it wasn't that strong of an episode.
Yeah.
It was an okay episode.
I did want to say I wasn't a big... here's the thing. Fundamentally, it wasn't a bad episode, but I think it just didn't hold my attention. Like, all the stuff with, like, Arya Stark, I'm sorry, I'm
not... Ashilda.
Ashilda and the Doctor, like, I liked all that.
No, all their discussions were great.
Yeah.
The threat of the episode is what I didn't care about.
Like the underlying plot with the lion dude.
Yeah, like, it seemed like they needed a threat, so they added one. I feel that this was an episode where you didn't necessarily have to even have that.
No.
I mean, you take that out, and it you give it something... I mean, this could have been a straight-up historical episode, and I would have been fine with that, but modern Doctor Who doesn't really want to go down that path. They're just straight on, straight-up historical. You need an alien, I guess.
Yeah. Or a monster.
Yeah, the lion figure didn't do much for me.
No.
He looked cool, but at the same time, it was just like, okay.
I didn't care about it. That was the problem.
The gallows humor was funny.
Yeah. The literal gallows humor,
yeah.
Since he was at the...
So there was some good banter.
What was his name? Sam, whatever his name is?
Yeah, he was like a robber.
Yeah, he was cool.
He's a famous comedian in the UK. I don't know his name, but...
Okay.
It just... it seemed like the strongest stuff in this episode was the first half, which... before the lion showed up.
Yeah.
Because it was like a lot of that talk about immortality and lots of that.
And then once the lion and all that went away,
and then it
that's
was like,
when you also get...
It just felt like this is kind of like a by-the-numbers sort of thing.
I honestly, mean, once the whole threat went away, that was cool again, since they basically just went to a bar to talk.
Yeah.
And it was...
It's cool. Weird, but I would have liked this episode if it was just more talking.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I can... say that I really like about Capaldi is his doctor really, really interests me when he speaks.
Yeah.
Like, the others, like, I like seeing them in action and stuff, but his, like, he can... You don't get bored seeing him talk. Like, he's... It's...
Like, I don't need big speeches from him.
And he doesn't usually... He does it occasionally,
yeah,
too. It's not, like, something he does, like, a... Like, Smith gave a lot of speeches.
Like, I didn't like Smith's talking that much, but his speeches were good.
Yeah.
But I preferred seeing Matt Smith doing fun stuff in action.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all that aside, the dialogue between him and Ashilda, again, was really great.
Yeah.
Really fantastic.
And, you know, he mentioned Jack Harkness and all that,
too. He did. Yeah. There was a slight mention of Captain Jack, and that was kind of cool. He hasn't been mentioned in a while. Last time they mentioned him, it was, like, kind of a side mention where River said she napped it off of a certain time traveler.
Yeah.
Her vortex manipulator.
Yeah.
So it was a little reference, but now, okay, it's official. It's like he's being referenced and acknowledged. So that was kind of cool. But other than that, it was... I didn't hate the episode. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
I did like it, but I feel that had it focused only on the drama, focused only on the relationship between the Doctor and Ashilda, and like her past, and maybe make the episode a mystery of finding out things about her and her just rediscovering herself.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been stronger that way, because how she reconnected with herself was kind of like, oh, you're watching a bunch of aliens kill people, so now you realize you're good again.
Yeah.
That was kind of like,
And I'm going to... What, Maisie Williams, I don't hate her acting, but...
Oh, I don't.
But I don't think she's really that amazing either. I think she's simply... She's serviceable.
Okay,
and
I think she works good when it's simple dialogue and talking, which is why I love those scenes so much.
Yeah.
She's not the best when it comes to, like, crazy action scenes.
Yeah.
And I think it does come from the fact that she, like, she still looks like she's 10.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of weird.
That's really is what it is. I mean,
And also, like, I think the good thing is it wasn't just Arya Stark to me, and I know I said that like last week.
It was completely
yeah.
They could have gone that route. They didn't though. This actually did feel like a
different, distinct character.
It also felt like a damaged person, like a really damaged person.
Which is ironic because Arya Stark is a damaged.
But this is in a different way. It's damaged in a. This person is lost who they are completely.
Yeah.
And I really do like the character of Ishilda, though. Like, I think it's a great concept, and it may be bold of me to say, but I would not mind seeing if she's ever done with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
If she did a spin-off series of this character, I mean, it'd be kind of cool to have this character where. You could have just different decades of this.
So, like, young Indiana Jones kind of thing.
Or each season is a different, like, era or decade.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be kind of awesome, I think. And Maisie Williams, I think, is going to look like this for a while. I mean, she's 18 already, and she still looks like she did in the first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It
is a little bizarre.
Yeah. So I think it could you could actually do it. I think it'd be.
She's cool. Not a tall person.
No, she's not. She's pretty short. Yeah. And as we know, Randy Newman told us short people have got no reason to live.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, she is coming back, and it was announced. She's coming back for episode 10. Fear the Raven, or
is that the finale? Or
no,
the,
it's
penultimate.
It's one of the two episodes before the finale.
Oh, okay.
So she is coming back. For what role we don't know exactly what she's going to be doing with it, but it's probably going to take place in the 21st century.
Yeah.
As evidenced by the Doctor seeing her. Before we get into our final thoughts, I guess Travis is waiting for us in the field, as he always does. So, do you think we should throw it to him?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take this to Travis right now, who's in the field. And Travis, can you hear us?
Yes, hi, Aaron. This is Travis coming at you live from the field once again this week. I'm in the middle of a field. Not much going on in this field, just some grass and foliage and whatnot. And
what about the episode, Travis?
Pretty interesting episode in general. Honestly, didn't quite live up to the idea that was placed for it from the week before. I know this is a two-parter, and obviously the overall arching idea behind these two things that really combines it is the fact that you know, the loneliness of immortality and how it can cause one to become dejected from its fellow type of person. And that was very cool to see and watch and see how it plays out in this episode, in this week's past episode. But it just didn't have quite that moment that it's hard for it to live up to that holy crap moment of the doctor's realization and epiphany from the week before. That being said, still fun watching things play out. His interaction, the fact that he's so great at banter, yet so firmly against banter. In fact, he even has a line in the sand as far as puns are concerned. He is not cotton to puns, which was very fun to watch. And his interactions with you know, the young Maisie Williams. Still strong, for sure. But like I said, overall, if I had to compare it to last week's, it didn't quite live up to being as great as that was. And with this being a two-parter, that's, you know, you kind of want it to be there and don't like the idea of a slight disappointment. That being said, as a story on its own, I would probably still give it you know, a 3.5 in comparison to last week's 4. So it's still very good. The season as a whole has still been very solid. I mean, most of my problems are just nitpicky. So anyways, I guess I'm going to throw it back to you guys in the studio as I continue to wait in this field to get cornholed and whatnot. All right. Thank you. See you guys next week.
Well, that's...
Yeah, so that was Travis, who...
is waiting.
We're very sorry for those at home who just heard what they heard at the end there. This is a family show.
It is a family show.
We'll have to talk to our producers about that, but...
He may get fined for saying such a thing.
Possibly. So, he made a lot of good points.
Yeah, we pretty much said all those points. So one may say he ate his opinions from us.
I would agree completely with most of the things he said. Maybe all of them, even.
Yes.
As for how I view this episode, I would probably give it around a 3.5. Three.
I may have to give it like a. I don't want this to seem like I hate it. I like a 2.5 for me. It's completely down the middle for
honestly,
me in the sense that
I think it's the weakest of the series so far.
Yeah. No. I'm not.
You know what? That being said, that's pretty good though.
Yeah, because normally like with last season, even I wasn't a big fan of the season opener.
For the weakest of the series, it's still I would consider this a strong episode of the series A.
Yeah,
not a solid episode, but a strong one. I mean, it's
it's just for me the lion thing just didn't.
I think that did that brought it down a bit.
Yeah.
Like
that didn't do anything for me.
Because it just felt like, okay, we need a monster for this. Let's just this lion guy.
But the dialogue and everything with them, and you know the gallows humor, like you said, is enough for me to at least enjoy the episode, and I can give it at least 2.5 stars based on that alone.
So almost 3. Yeah, I'm there about a 3.
Okay,
somewhere between a. That it's like the needle's going between the 2.5 and the 3.5 and the 3, and it's wavering. It's somewhere around there. I as a whole though, with the last episode, I'd say it's pretty strong. I'd say it suffers from a sort of a weaker third act with the lion thing. I mean, there's not much you can do about that. But overall, though, as a two-parter, pretty good actually. I mean. It handles the question of mortality pretty well.
Oh, so should I judge it as a two-parter then?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Overall,
then,
as a two-parter...
Then 3.5.
Yeah, as a two-parter, I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Like without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay.
Taking this episode by itself, it's questionable.
That's why I said a 2.5.
But as a complete... Like, because I believe it was like a 4 we gave last week's. It makes sense. 3.5 is fine for this two-parter. It's not a bad two-parter. It's not like... The Doppelgangers episode. Remember that two-parter?
I don't think so, no.
The Gangers, where there's, like, the clone of 11.
Oh.
And everyone looked like wax.
Oh, yeah.
Or the empty Earth or whatever.
Yeah.
See, there's been worse two-parters, so...
Oh, no, I'm not... The thing is, those were so long ago for me.
Yeah.
It feels like... That, and if they were bad, I just don't remember them.
So,
like, you need to tell
me. Cold Blood. That's what it was called. So,
oh shit.
So you know what? Okay. For this series, it's still going pretty strong.
Oh yeah.
And despite this may be the weakest, but for the weakest, it's not bad. And so, honestly, series 9 is shaping up to be one of the better series of, I think, the show in general. Like,
would you say at least Moffat's run?
I think Moffat's and even RTD's, because we've gone a long time in this series without having a miss, which is kind of rare because in Doctor Who you get misses constantly, like there's 3 good episodes and 1 really bad.
Well, I do feel like these are shorter seasons, aren't they? I mean,
no, they're not the same.
Are they not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just we're getting two-parters, so I think the writing benefits from that.
Yeah.
So. All right, so if you're wondering why this week you should have been getting the Zygon Invasion, well, fear not. Next week, you will be getting a double dose. you'll be getting the Zygon Invasion and the Zygon Inversion discussion. It's just how this the Halloween thing kind of threw us off a little bit. But
yeah.
Worry not.
Worry not.
You will have a double dose of Zygon.
Yes.
The right dosage.
Yes. Thanks, Doc, for the right dosage of the Zygon cure.
So, yeah. Travis will hopefully get out of that goddamn field. And he'll be here to discuss both episodes.
Yes.
Not
getting cornholed, hopefully.
No. Not.
I should probably watch my mouth. This is a kid's show.
You're quoting him. It's okay. Okay. He's just putting corn inside of a hole in the ground.
Oh, yeah. That's how you plant, you know?
Yeah, you... Yeah. So, yeah. Look forward to that. Wow. Okay, so, How do we leave them? Do we just say goodbye?
Woo.
That's not how you leave them.
You
gotta leave them begging for more or something.
I do that all the time.